Joining me right now is the voice of the Peoria Chiefs, Nathan Bellivi. Joined us right before the season got underway. And I always call you, I hope you don't mind, one of my favorite people in the Midwest League.
I'm not going to complain about that.
No, because it's always fun to talk to you, and you've got a good sense on what the Cardinals are all about. We talk about the Cubs, of course, a lot on this program, with a majority of our fan base being Cub fans. And here we are on May 4th. The Cardinals are a half a game ahead of the Cubs. We're still in the small sample size stage. I kind of look at June 1st as the day I take the standings for real. So, Nathan, I actually asked my co-host, who's a Cardinal fan in the first hour, this question. I'll start this with you. Up until this point, are the Cardinals who you thought they were when they broke spring training?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we talked in March, you know, it's kind of what I thought. If the young guys would perform, that this is where they would be. You know, if the blown saves obviously have hurt.
Yes.
You know, but you know, Jack Flaherty's come up at times and given some very good starts. You know, Harrison Bader has come up and given some good numbers. Jordan Hicks has surprised almost everybody, you know, with what he's been able to do. You know, and then you look at the starting pitching, you know, you can't ask for a whole lot more from some of these guys. You know, I know people are, you know, hand-wringing about, you know, Luke Weaver and stuff like that.
But he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. And you look at, you know, what Michaelis has done, and you just got to say, okay, perfect. You know, that's exactly what we, you know, brought him in to do if you're a Cardinals fan. And then you look at what Carlos Martinez has done, and those numbers have been fantastic. You know, and on and on, you know, Michael Wacha has pitched well. Adam Wainwright's been hurt, and you kind of, you know, hopefully that he'll be back now in the next week. Alex Reyes pitched off a mound today for the first time against live hitters in a long time down in an extended spring game, going multiple innings, and we'll see what the next step is with him. I would imagine it's going to be either another one of those extended spring starts or maybe a Palm Beach rehab start, since they're obviously right there, you know, with that. So, you know, that's just an added bonus, and you and I were talking about an hour and a half ago or so about the bullpen, and it's just the moving parts. You know, Tui Valala's back in now, and Ryan Sheriff's back up, and both those guys have been rehabbing with Memphis, and you know, and John Brebbia goes back and forth, and you know, a lot of those guys have been doing that, and that's just kind of the nature of the beast right now with the Cardinals in Memphis, and plugging guys in multiple innings and send them down, and you know, some of the guys have been as expected, and some of the guys have been better than expected for the young guys, and I think for those of us who were optimistic Cardinals fans when the season started, this is what you wanted to see. You wanted to see the young guys come up, get a chance, succeed on that chance, and you know, show a bright future. And a lot of people said, "Oh, can Tommy Pham do it again?" Well,
he's doing it.
He's doing it. You know, can Jose Martinez keep going like he was at the end of last year when he got extended to bats? The answer is yes. You know, so now it's the other guys. Will Dexter Fowler, you know, get it going? Will Marcelo Ozuna, you know, in a notoriously slow starter? So now that the weather's warmed up and he started to get a couple of hits, you know, I think Yadi's probably beating everybody's expectations except for Yadi's, you know, as he continues to just drive in runs and
he's
hit
beating Wilson Contreras' expectations of Yadi or Molina.
That's right. He sure is. So, you know, I think that's what makes it fun. And, you know, we might have ourselves a four-team race, which would be fantastic. It's a lot of fun for this area of Illinois.
Sure.
You know, probably even more so than it is in South Bend because there's not as many Cardinals fans there. And we even sneak in some Brewers fans down here, being just 3 hours, 3.5 hours from Milwaukee. So, you know, it makes it a fun summer when both teams are good.
You know, Nathan, I started the year, I felt like the Cubs were a team that could win. I put 98 wins on them. I had St. Louis at 90, Milwaukee at 88. Now, for St. Louis to have a chance to compete with the Cubs, I felt like Chicago had to come back to them a little bit, and,
sure,
and St. Louis had to overachieve. But I felt like the one thing, despite what the Chicago media will talk about, how great their starting pitching is, I really felt like St. Louis had a chance to have a better starting rotation than Chicago. And so far, I think they've outpitched Chicago for the most part.
Well, now I think they have two, and a lot of that, you know, you look at a couple of just disappointments in the Cubs rotation, you know, that people didn't expect, you know, as to where they've been in the last couple of years.
Sure.
The big key to me, if you want to close that gap of a projection, whether it's 5, 6, 7 games that people were projecting, whether you look at Pecota or you look at Bill James or
sure.
whatever you look at, and it was in there, is the head-to-head. And that's where the Cubs have won the division the last 2 years, you know, over the Cardinals, is by beating them head-to-head.
14-5.
Yep. So that's the key. That can't happen again this year. That's why these games in Busch this weekend, you know, you say it's early May and you say the standings don't matter, but when it's head-to-head, they matter, because that's when you get to September and it's a 2-game swing and you look and you're 5-14 against your rival and that's a 9-game swing and then you're in trouble. So that's what makes these games matter. They matter more when you're in a split family like I am, and you know, my brother's ready to talk some trash, and you know, one of us will be sending a text message at the end of every game, and we don't really talk during the games, but at the end of the game there'll be an emoji or a gif or something sent back and forth, and that's kind of you know, kind of how we do it, and have some fun. You know, even here on staff, we've got some full-time members. I'm sure not everybody who works for South Bend is a Cubs fan, is
exactly right,
you know, as evidence, but we've got some people here that are Cubs fans, and you know, we've got people here that are Reds fans, and all sorts of around this, you know,
I feel for them.
Yeah, you know, around the office we've got a guy from Minnesota, is a Twins fan, Tigers fan, so you know, we've got a bunch of different, we've got a pretty diverse office from, you know, kind of all over the country now too, which is pretty cool. And you know, it makes for some fun trash talking around here when two or three of us are diehard Cardinals fans and there's two or three diehard Cubs fans.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we'll have some fun, not just with, obviously, people who work here and get the paycheck or rooting for Peoria, you know, but they're also, I know that some of them are really in the sales staff that are Cubs fans have really looked forward to some of the groups that they bring out this weekend when they're the Central Illinois Cubs boosters are here, or
yep.
they get somebody who might tell them during the regular season, oh, I don't want to come out because you're giving away a Cardinals thing. Okay, well, here's your weekend to come out, and you know, it was their chance a couple years ago to see Gleyber Torres have 5 hits here in a game. You know, last year, unfortunately for us, you guys swept us here in this ballpark and had some pretty good pitching performances. Dylan Cease was fantastic here, so you know, now it's you know, what are you going to see next time around? And it's a chance for them to go out and sell to Cubs fans, and we really enjoy this weekend.
Let me just tell you this. There were many members on the South Bend Cubs staff that had a lot of enjoyment last April when the Cardinal fan had to do the Cubs ring ceremony
coaching
staff.
I bet. That's right.
There was a lot of chirping, no doubt about that. So
I bet there was.
I was honored to have the chance to be a part of that, but there was a lot of stuff in my ear. Hey, this is something I want to ask you about, because I brought this up from a Cub perspective last hour. I pushed ahead to the trade deadline, and let's say St. Louis, Chicago, Milwaukee, they're all bunched together. It's the trade deadline, and the Cubs have used many elite chips the last couple of years to bring in talent. They won the World Series partially, bringing in Aroldis Chapman, got rid of Gleyber Torres.
Yep.
I think he went 5-for-5 in this ballpark one day.
Made a couple of good defensive plays, had a home run too.
Yep. Eloy Jimenez was dealt for Jose Quintana, as did Dylan Cease. And I talked last year, before the deadline, if those players go, there's a hole. For so long, the Cubs have been near the top of the prospect list when they had Bryant and Schwarber, and then through Cease and Eloy and Gleyber. Those guys have all moved on now, either to the major league level or they've been shipped off to other organizations. And I have said out loud, I think they're going to have to trade from their major league roster to help their major league roster, which means Russell or Happ may go, because their minor league system, as of today, I'm not sure they could get the haul they would want for an elite player. Now, a lot can change over the last couple of months. You know the St. Louis organization as well as anybody. You've had most of these players come through Peoria. How prepared is St. Louis, and how willing are they to move some of these chips at the deadline to possibly add a player or two that could make the difference down the stretch against a Cub or a Brewer team?
Well, they've got the players. The willingness is a question for the people down there on Clark Street. But, you know, the players are there. We've been fortunate to see a lot of them. We've already mentioned a few of them in Jordan Hicks and Jack Flaherty. And, you know, Carson Kelly is there as one of the top catchers in minor league baseball in Memphis behind a great and Yadier Molina. And you've got now now another
double A.
Andrew Kisner is hitting 400. Juan Yepes here is having a fantastic year. You know, there's a lot of bats too. A couple of the Cuban-born players, and Rosarena and Garcia, Oscar Mercado, and the list goes on and on. So that's the advantage right now that the Cardinals have, because as you mentioned, the Cubs used those chips the last couple of years. Milwaukee used those chips at both the trade deadline last year and then in the offseason when they brought in a couple of big name players there as well. So you know, they might be in better position there. As far as that goes, if they're willing to make a deal. And it's something the Cardinals did back when. You remember when they won it in 2011, it wasn't trading prospects. It was trading Colby Rasmus from the Major League staff.
For like 15,000 players.
Right. But, you know, and then Mark Zepchinski and Edwin Jackson were key in the NLCS and in the World Series to that. You know, you look at Houston last year, and they made those moves, and it paid off, and they won. Now, you know, they were so far ahead, and we saw it in Quad Cities, a lot more than you guys saw it in Quad Cities head-to-head. In the finals a couple years ago with Correa and those guys. And then we've seen it head to head. Now they've won again last year. But now they slid back a little bit because they lost, what, 8 of their top 20 prospects in those trades with, with the Brewers and with the Tigers, you know, and all of that. So, you know, that's the nature of the beast. You know, it's cyclical. And, yeah, I would say that right now the Cardinals have the advantage in that. It just depends on whether they like the chips they have or they want to go out and find something new.
Nathan Beliva, the voice of the Peoria Chiefs, our guest. Chiefs, the Midwest League affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. So let me ask you a hot-button topic for years in St. Louis. I think I know what you're going to say.
Uh-oh. No pressure.
But there is a huge debate in the media and with fans about the Cardinal manager, Mike Matheny, who just managed his 1,000th career game. And his numbers match up against Reg Shandies, Whitey Herzog, Tony La Russa. But there's been a feeling, and I fall into this category, I feel like he struggles with the bullpen at times and handling that. With all that being said, do you feel like he is a guy that can take them where they need to go this year?
Oh, I absolutely do.
So yeah, you're in the Matheny.
I'm in the. I've worked with a lot of coaches, managers, you know, and so I should be careful how I phrase this, just as you have in multiple sports. But I think that the success and the failure of a coach is vastly overrated. They're not the ones that make, and we'll stick with baseball, they're not the ones that make the bad pitches. They're not the ones that swing and miss. They're not the ones that make the base running mistake. Yes, they go through all of it in spring training, and they put the guys in the right position. They make up the lineup cards. They go to the bullpen and whatnot. But they're not the ones that execute, just like in basketball. You could drop the perfect play, and if the shooting guard misses the 19-footer, you look like a dope. Well, it's not your fault that the kid misses the shot. You know, is it, you know, does Jay Wright get success because they hit a game-winning three-pointer to beat North Carolina in the final? Yeah, he does, but he didn't make that shot. You know, a 21-year-old kid made that shot.
True.
So, you know, look at the Cavs. You know, LeBron makes anybody look like a great coach. So, you know, that's the thing. I think coaches in sports, after the high school level, completely different. High school is completely different. We know that. But college and pro sports, I think the coaches, the managers, get way too much credit and take way too much blame. So, yeah, you know, if the right players are put into the right spots, I absolutely think he's the guy there. Now, you know, people will point to certain circumstances in past playoff series, you know, whether it's with Mike Matheny or it's with Joe Maddon or it's with Bruce Bochy and all those guys, and some make those right calls in the right moments of games. You know, if the extra innings don't happen in Game 7 in Cleveland 2 years ago, how much different is the perception of Joe Maddon as a big game man? You know, so like
huge.
That, like, but that's the thing. And, but, you know, somebody goes up there who's from 20 miles away from here and makes a great swing on a ball in extra innings, and there we go.
This is history.
You almost just lost your iPad out the window.
Oh, hey, that was close.
This booth doesn't like you.
Yeah, there. I noticed.
We do have the patch wall. Is that the ball that came in last
week? No, it wasn't, but I should have kept it. I threw it to a fan down below, but yeah, a ball came in the booth, and I was reading a live read, and I looked up, the ball was halfway there, and I'm like, no shot.
One came towards Dan Hasty last night, one came towards him, and it hit right off of this window.
Oh, he hides.
So.
Well, I'll say this. Here's my
He's
two
big.
Things.
He can absorb it.
He can.
He's like 6'8". Kid's a monster.
Here's my thing about Matheny. He's relied on Matt Bowman too much in key spots. Now, he's gone away from that a little bit now. But here's my big concern. There was a game within the last 2 weeks where he had the phenom Jordan Hicks up three times in the bullpen and then used him two innings. That is a big concern for me and a young arm. It's just not good to have a guy up that many times. And I fear that Kevin Segrist was never the same after being used in a similar way. So that's my big beef, is the way he gets people up and down, and whether he uses them or does not use them, it just gets me a little nervous.
Yeah, you know, and I get that. And I think that's, you know, that's valid. And it can be that way with a lot of managers in baseball. It's not an easy thing to do. And, you know, you get guys that haven't done it, and that's why I think that, and the industry doesn't go this way anymore. It's not 20 years ago where you worked your way up like the players do, you know, and you would start at this level and you were a 10 or a 15 year lifer, and then you got that job at the major leagues, and now look at Joe Maddon. I mean, he was a manager here.
Yeah.
I'm pointing outside, but not at this ballpark. 5 miles down the road on Bradley University's campus up there at Pifanaka Stadium in 1984. And then worked his way up, and it was the mid-2000s before he was around. I mean, he went from the late 70s into Quad Cities Angels up until, you know, he was Socia's bench coach for a decade, and then, you know, late 2000s, he gets the Rays job, you know, not as a young man, not as a former player.
Right.
That's a dinosaur. You know, and that doesn't happen anymore. Now you get these guys who come straight out of playing, and they're Gabe Kapler, they're Alex Cora, you know, they're Dave Roberts, they're Mike Matheny, they're Robin Ventura. Some work, some don't, but they don't go through that. And I think that I don't know, because obviously I haven't done it, neither of you. But I would think that some of those managers that go and work their way up, they get that advantage. They manage a bullpen at this level. They manage a bullpen in Double A where you have pitchers hitting, unlike here. For a National League skipper, you manage one at Triple A. You know, you get these guys that don't. Well, look at Houston, Brad Mills. And yeah. it went through all of that, he was a former guy here. And then A.J. Hinch was the opposite, and it worked for A.J. Hinch.
He was a farm director at Kovaleski Stadium for many years.
Exactly.
With the Diamondbacks.
Exactly. But he didn't, you know, he didn't manage his way up, and it worked for him. But yeah. they had Brad Mills, who built that foundation, who was a former guy here that went to Cleveland. It worked. Terry Francona worked his way up. He managed Michael Jordan in Birmingham in Double A in 1994.
South Bend White Sox
manager.
South Bend
White Sox. Yeah. So, you know, he worked his way up as a former player, and it worked. Well, so, obviously, there's different ways to do it, but I think that the managing the bullpen is way harder than not calling you and I regular fans, but those that are listening to us right now, regular fans, can imagine it to be. It's one of those things where you're armchair quarterbacking it, and you think it's a whole lot easier. And we don't know who's available, who's not on some days. We don't know who's not feeling well, who went through in a bullpen in the afternoon and or did something, didn't feel 100%. There's just so many variables that we don't know, and it makes it tough.
And he follows Tony La Russa, who is the master.
Who's here tomorrow night.
I know. He's my idol. That's my idol right there. You talk about my guy. I mean, he was magnificent. Hey, one final question.
Yeah,
I know you
absolutely
got things to do. Just with this Peoria team, give me a couple of names of players to watch in the series against South Bend.
Well, I got to say Juan Yepes. When you're hitting 440 and it's May the 4th, and you know, you 21 starts, he's got 13 multi-hit games, keeps coming up in RBI opportunities. But our 3-4-5 has been fantastic. Yuriel Gonzalez, Alaris Montero, who's probably the prospect out of the three over at third base, and then Juan Yepes. Julio Rodriguez has not played today. He caught 2 days in a row, so I would imagine he'll be back out there tomorrow. He's driven in a run in 6 straight games, has an 8-game hitting streak that includes 13 RBI. That seems pretty good. In his last 8 games, he's driven in 13 with 4 homers in that stretch as well, which leads the team, but he had caught 2 in a row in 3 of the last 4, so he gets a day off. Ortega, though, catching, watch his arm. If you guys got guys to run, he's 6 out of 10 throwing out base stealers and has picked 4 off. 2 off second, 2 off second, 2 off first. The other night we went to extra innings with that new rule. He said, nah, forget about it. Pick the guy off second to start the inning.
I saw that on Twitter. You post that.
Second pitch, he just picks the guy off second. Now it's back like a regular 10th inning for us. So,
you know, I'm thinking through the years you're hiding these good pitchers from me, because I wanted to see Jack Flaherty. He pitched the day before our series.
Yeah.
I wanted to see Jordan Hicks last year. He pitched 2 days before our series. And
Jake Walsh Sunday. He's good.
Okay.
Yep, Jake Walsh he had a blip the other day against West Michigan where he just couldn't find it in the first inning, only went 2/3 of an inning, but he's really good and will pitch here on Sunday. Prendergast is a strike thrower tomorrow, former independent guy who's, you know, perfect for this level. He'll throw strikes. Sejas tonight is one of those flip of the coin type guys. He's either really, really good, which we've seen twice this year, or last time out, inning in two thirds, four walks, six runs. Not so good. But that's been our team. We can hit. Yep. We play defense. We're number one in the league in batting average. We're number two or three in fielding percentage, depending on the day. And our ERA is in the bottom five. So high scoring games. But the good thing, knocking on wood, is we'll play some high scoring games. Last night, 15 runs in the game, 2 hours and 32 minutes. So we score, but we score quickly. We give up runs. We give up runs quickly. It's a lot of four-run innings and then 0-0-0-0-4-0-0.
Well, Tuesday we gave up 16 hits and had none. So that's kind of been our week. Yep. It's not been the greatest week. Thanks for checking in for a couple of moments. Always a pleasure to talk to you. And looking forward to a little Cubs-Cardinals Midwest League style while the big boys play down in St. Louis.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Nathan, thank you so much. Nathan Beliva, the voice of the Peoria Chiefs. Darren Pritchett in Peoria.